Crib Notes, things parents Google at 3am.
Powered by the Breastfeeding Friend.
For breastfeeding advice, available 24/7 on Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant.
Welcome to Crib Notes episode 5. It's Rick here alongside Dr. Sarah.
Crib Notes is the new medical podcast discussing the things that parents Google at 3am.
And today we're going to be talking all about problems that might crop up while you breastfeed.
We're joined again by Geraldine Mishkin, who is a breastfeeding counsellor. We'll be discussing things like pain during breastfeeding, too much milk, not enough milk, and pumping if that's something that you might want to do.
This is actually something we were talking about in our antenatal classes earlier, and it is a bit bonkers because you're talking about the most detailed personal stuff with people like it's the first day of school.
Yeah, it is crazy how you don't know these people, but actually, a few months down the line, you'll feel like you've known them forever. Like, I actually see my antenatal girls almost every other day.
That's really good to hear. I'm not sure how many of mine I'm going to stick with. No, all of them. all of them. Anyway, really looking forward to chatting with Geraldine again, as this one is super useful. Don't forget, what's discussed today is the opinions of the individuals and not the organisations they work for.
And while we hope you find this podcast helpful, remember, this is not personal medical advice. If you are concerned, do speak to a professional.
Geraldine, it's great to have you back on.
Great.
It's a topic that we are touching on today. It's something I never thought I'd say. Having too much milk, because it's not a problem that I'm going to actually experience. But many people will experience this, won't they?
Definitely. I think most breastfeeding mums are going to experience having too much milk at some point. So very commonly, mums will often find that they have a lot of milk on day 3, day 4. Mm. And that's just because the body's producing so much milk, it doesn't know how much the baby needs. And so what it does is just go, here, have 3 to 4 times more than baby needs. And then whatever the baby takes off, the body replaces until the milk supply drops and is more in line with the baby's needs. So that's pretty natural, very, very normal, very common for most breastfeeding.
And it can be quite alarming. Mums sometimes wake up and they're like, whoa, what's just happened? Have I had a boob job? This is quite scary. And it can be quite painful, can't it?
It can be quite painful because all of a sudden there's no movement in the breast. The breast is very full, it's very hot, it's very hard, and we can definitely manage that. Just know that it will pass very quickly. And so we've got ways to help you to deal with that. But before we go into that, I just want to say that when babies are feeding really, really well, often we find that you might not become engorged, and that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. So if your baby's feeding efficiently, it basically stops the body from going into that crazy overproduction, and the baby just manages supply. So it's normal for you to have the engorgement, but if your baby's doing well and feeding really well, don't be surprised if you don't have that issue. Yeah, totally fine.
And what sort of things do you advise when mums come to you with this?
So the first thing to say is that if you just think about the breast, so when you're engorged, the breast is very full, it's very hard. And so it isn't easy for the baby to scoop up a nice mouthful of breast tissue. And so what we want to do is we want to help manage that. So the first thing we can do is before feeding, apply a nice hot wet cloth over the nipple and gently push the milk back into the breast. And that's just going to help soften the areola, the brown bit that goes around the nipple. Now, sometimes even softening the breast makes it a little bit trickier for the baby. And so this is where you can shape your breast. And so when shaping the breast, if you're thinking about your baby feeding across body, you want to shape the breast in line with your baby's smile. So if your baby's coming across body, what I want you to do is put your fingers in a V. So fingertips on the outside of the areola.
The V. This is where it comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
I was waiting for this.
You've been waiting
for this all my life.
It's time for the V. So you put your fingertips on the areola edge and gently pinch together so that you form a nice vertical wedge for the baby to latch onto. So you're shaping the breast in line with baby's smile. Sometimes mums will get conflicting advice and they'll be told to shape their breasts in a C, so with your fingers at 12 and 6 or top and bottom, but that's shaping the breast perpendicular to your baby's smile, so it makes it really hard for your baby to latch. So an easy way to remember what you have to do, remember C is for can't latch and V is for victory. Okay.
And I think one other thing to point out is it's really common for mums to get mixed messages, isn't it?
Yes.
So you'll often have one person telling you one thing and another person telling you another thing. And to be honest, actually, there's lots of ways which can all be right as well, aren't there, for each an individual mum. And so just listen to what works for you and don't be too stressed if you get
different advice.
Yes, exactly. So listen what works for you. And secondly, also know that what works on one day might not work the next day.
Mm.
And it's totally fine. So it's nice to have a toolkit of different things that you can use, different techniques, different approaches, all that kind of thing. And you can pick and choose to see what works.
And Sarah just mentioned stress there, because that can actually be a real factor in lowering supply, can't it?
Yes, it can. And sometimes it's also just the belief that you don't have it. And then, you know, everything that happens sort of almost confirms in your mind that you've got low milk supply.
Absolutely. And just going back to oversupply again, just one more time, if that's okay, before we go on to undersupply.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that mums can also do. For example, taking a little bit of the milk off, but not too much that you're actually producing more. Is that right?
Yeah. So when we're thinking about milk production, what we're looking at is the body will actually replace whatever we drain. So we used to say supply and demand, but actually supply is driven by drainage. So the more you drain, the more you make. Now, that's really important, because when we have a lot of milk, a lot of mums want to take milk off the breast first. But if you take milk off the breast first, your body's going to replace it. So you're going to get caught in this negative loop where you're constantly having to take milk off. Instead, what we want to do is try not to take milk off if possible. Soften the breast, make sure you can get the baby
on. Like a
warm
compress or...
Yeah, warm compress, gently push the milk back in, nice bath, hot shower, that kind of thing. Then what we want to do is we want the baby to take milk off the breast. After a feed, you're still going to feel quite full because you've got a lot of milk, but you can then manage that with ice packs. So just get some ice packs onto the breast. You know, you'll probably have something, like speak to your doctor about having some ibuprofen, just to reduce the swelling and inflammation to manage that. Your body will naturally regulate milk supply when your breast is full, because it sends a message to the brain to say, we're full up here, we don't need more milk. So it will naturally happen. But if possible, don't take off
too
milk
much
to start with. Okay.
And it will gradually even out, because it's very clever the way it knows how much your baby needs.
Yeah, exactly. It will gradually even out. But then again, if for some reason you're one of these mums who has like a superpower supply and you're sort of thinking, oh, this is not working, you know, like the holding off the ice packs, it's not working. Get help.
Mm.
Get help really quickly, because you might just be one of those mums who's got an amazing supply.
Is that common?
It is quite common. Yeah, it's very common. But if you're a first-time mum, you don't know.
You wouldn't know. You have no idea.
You just wouldn't know. So the rule of thumb is you want to see that things are calming down or getting better, i.e. your breasts are starting to feel softer within a couple of days. If they're not, please get help.
And talking about not having enough milk now, that's another common thing that mums worry about, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know, it is. And there is something really stressful thinking that you don't have enough milk to feed your baby. Now, it is very, very, very rare for mums not to have enough milk.
That's good to know.
But in some cases, again, because milk supply is driven by drainage, right? Sometimes when babies are born, they might not drain the breast efficiently. And if you don't know to look for the swallows, like we spoke about in the last program, you won't know that
the latch isn't right,
the baby's not efficient. And so if the baby isn't draining the milk efficiently, then your body doesn't know that it needs to produce X amount of milk. And so sometimes that can dwindle.
And things like you just mentioned, stress is so relevant.
And I was going to say sleep as well.
Sleep,
because obviously if you're getting up every 4 hours, isn't it, you're naturally going to be tired.
Yeah.
But obviously there must be a balance
easier
in that by the fact
done,
you've got to do it.
Yeah. Sleep and stress are the two things that
it's a balance. It is a balance,
baby,
isn't it?
Really. It
is.
So it's impossible when someone tells you, try not to
just
be
relax.
Tired.
Mm.
Just relax.
Just
it's
relax.
Not helpful.
No, it doesn't. But there is an amazing, you know, mums are beautifully prepped with these amazing hormones and stuff that helps you to manage on sleep. Or less sleep. Dads don't cope quite as well as mums. So yes, it is important.
That is good to know, though.
Dads really struggle. But, you know, it is really important when possible to get the feed efficient. When you get the feed efficient, you've got more time to sleep and all that kind of thing. And for stress, it really helps mums when they feel like they've got a plan.
And some support. And tailored support.
Yeah, exactly. So many mums are often comparing themselves with their friends or their family or their NCT group or, you know, antenatal group. But if you think about it, every mum and baby are different. And so when working with mums, it's really important to look at your unique mum and baby combination, or what I call your mumbo. Right?
Oh, I love it.
The Crib Notes podcast is a co-production with The Breastfeeding Friend. It's available on Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant.
Think of it as your breastfeeding friend. You can ask her for how-to guides. And one of my favourite features is that when you're feeding, you can ask her to log your feeds.
So my wife's biggest worry and concern ahead of starting to breastfeed is about cracked nipples. Should she be worried?
The skin on the tissue is very delicate, and it has to be because it is sensitive. But it is made for breastfeeding. So when we get the positioning right, so if I can do a very quick, a quick demonstration. If you were to just imagine that your thumbnail is the nipple, right? And if you put your thumbnail into your mouth and give it a little suck, you'd feel how if that was your nipple on baby's little tongue, it would be really, really abrasive, okay? But when you have your lower lip further away from the thumbnail and you pop your thumb into your mouth and your tongue is actually lapping on your thumb, you won't feel the pressure on your nipple. So getting the position, the latch right is so, so, so important because that places the nipple right at the back of baby's mouth. When we get the positioning right and the attachment right or the latch right, chances of your nipples becoming cracked are very, very slim. Mm. So it really
all through the latch.
There.
It all comes back to the latch, doesn't it?
It all comes back to the latch. But let's just say you have a cracked nipple. You do have options. There are lots of things on the market that you can use to heal your nipples very, very quickly. And also there's something called a nipple shield, which looks like a little mini silicone sombrero, which you literally can pop onto the nipple. It acts as an adapter and it allows your baby to get breast milk directly from the breast. So right. You don't have to pump and you don't have to do any formula.
We've had lots of questions about these. Yeah. Some people saying they were against some advice that they got.
So there is obviously always a fear that if a baby's having a teat or some artificial form of feeding, that it's going to interfere with the feeding. But what I would say is leverage that with if your baby's not getting milk to start with, or if you're thinking of giving up because your nipples are so cracked or sore, or you're thinking that you need to top up with formula, use a nipple shield.
Pragmatic.
You know, use a nipple shield. You've got milk there. Get your baby to latch onto the shield. Get that sorted and then get help.
Just give him a bit of a break, yeah.
Yep, and then get help.
And there's things like creams, aren't there, which we always say, check that it's one that's baby friendly. And then there's different pads and lots of different products out there, aren't there? So there's definitely things that you can do if you have this problem.
Yeah, exactly. And there are also lots of natural things that you can do. The one thing with nipple creams and stuff like that is mums typically tend to overuse and slap and lather onto the breast. You only need a teeny tiny amount. And only when the nipples are sore. So don't start using nipple creams before your baby arrives because that can often create some problems. Your breast tissue or your skin has got little sebaceous glands. It's going to secrete a serum to prepare everything. So you don't need to do much prep from that point of view.
Don't need to toughen your nipples.
Don't need to toughen your nipples.
And things like alcohol on the nipples and things before, we don't recommend that either, do we?
We
try and toughen
so
them.
Do not. And yet I still hear from mums who will be told, take a scrubbing brush to the nipples or get white spirits. And
I mean, these are the ultimate old wives' tales, aren't they?
Yeah. Everyone's got an opinion from the hairdresser to the great aunt. They've all got these opinions.
Yeah. If you're finding that your supply is low, remember that your supply is driven by drainage. And so if you can drain more milk, you're going to make more milk. So if it means that if your baby's feeding really, really well, but is maybe feeding every 4 hours, bring your feeds closer together. Mm-hmm. If you're only feeding from one side, start feeding from both sides. Make sure that your positioning and attachment is correct. Use your breast compression to keep the milk flowing as much as possible. There are lots of supplements that you can use, to boost milk supply, that kind of thing. But if all else fails, you can also top it up with some pumping and expressing.
In terms of the evidence behind some of the supplements, it's quite weak evidence, isn't there? For things like fenugreek, for example, actually, I think the evidence is quite poor. But for example, in premature babies, occasionally the GP might prescribe things like domperidone. But really, all the other things we mentioned earlier, that's kind of the key bread and butter ways of bringing your milk up.
Fenugreek can sometimes, for some mums, create a little bit of an upset stomach for them. So it's nice to sort of know what's on the market, whether it's a placebo
whatever
effect.
Whatever works for those mums.
Whatever works, exactly.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's just reminding again, actually it's okay if this doesn't work out immediately and just take that time. In a few weeks' time, you'll barely remember the troubles that you had. Yeah. I remember when I had difficulties when my little one was first born. Actually, she couldn't latch at all initially. And I thought, gosh, is there something wrong with me as a mum? Have I failed? Or is there something wrong with her development? And as a paediatrician, I know that's completely ridiculous. If a baby doesn't latch straight away, that does not have any correlation with their development or IQ. But actually, it's the things that mums worry about. And it's really not related at all, is it?
No, exactly. It's totally fine if your baby isn't latching well to start with.
Yeah.
Give it some time, keep practicing, and it will come right.
It's time to talk about every new parent's favourite new kitchen utensil, the breast pump. I've already had a new socket put in to my kitchen just especially for it.
Nice.
In fact, four new sockets. Right, let's just go with the absolute basics, shall we, Geraldine?
Let's start. So when it comes to pumping, you're not going to start pumping until your milk supply has calmed down. So we said that you're going to start, you know, your milk supply is really high day three, day four. Your milk supply will be in line with baby's needs around sort of week two. So that's when it's safe to start pumping, because we don't want to create an oversupply if we can help it. Now, in terms of the pump that you can use, there's so many on the market, but I would always recommend getting a double pump, because if you can do both sides together, it's going to save you time. And so that's going to really sort of help. Any mum.
Writes down double pump on sheet.
Double pump.
And I think some mums might be wondering, so why would we want to pump? Because actually there's lots of people who don't pump. But there are some benefits, aren't there? And it's sometimes worthwhile considering.
Yeah. So when we're talking about pumping, there are three reasons why I would normally encourage mums to pump. One, if your baby isn't feeding efficiently and you want to drive your supply so that you can keep your options open. So you would then pump as though you were feeding. So same sort of pattern, same sort of frequency. Another time is if you just want to do the ad hoc sort of bottle, you know, keep baby sort of doing a bit of bottle feeding so that you have options later on, should you want to go back to work or go out for dinner or to a wedding. And the third reason mums will pump is if they want to create a bit of a routine. And so that seems to be quite popular, because it helps dads get involved and do a bottle feed late at night. And it helps mums to, you know, collect milk when their supply is higher in the morning and then use that to their benefit at night. So those are the three reasons mums will pump.
We know that in the UK, breastfeeding rates are really, really low. And actually, I think one of the reasons is because sometimes breastfeeding can be so inflexible and mums feel this huge pressure. They have to be with their baby all the time. But actually, pumping can be a really great solution, which allows that flexibility for work, for if you want to have a glass of wine, if you want dad to be involved.
Yeah, exactly. So when looking at breastfeeding, I have my exclusive breastfeeding model. Then I have a mixed breastfeeding model, whereas your baby's having express breast milk or milk from the breast. So it's mixed breastfeeding. And then we can go down to combination feeding, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. But pumping, you know, breastfeeding is so incredibly flexible. And if you build your milk supply, you can honestly, you know, substitute breastfeeds with bottle feeds. The only thing is that you would have to still pump in lieu of the bottle feed. But because you're pumping in lieu of a bottle feed, you can do it an hour before or an hour after. So you haven't messed up your supply. You haven't missed a feed. Right. You've just shuffled it a little bit forward or a little bit back to create a longer gap between the feeds so that mum can get some sleep.
So we were pumping on my sister's hen on the Eurostar, which opened some eyes. But actually, it meant that I was able to go and Daisy had a lovely time with her dad. So it was a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just when breastfeeding is flexible, mums want to do it because it is so enjoyable. And, you know, why not? You definitely can have your cake and eat it.
And is it the same principle? It takes about an hour and a half for the supply to come back.
So some mums fill up very, very quickly and some mums fill up a bit slower, but roughly about an hour and a half is where I would say a breast would be ready to. The thing about a breast is that it's never truly empty. It's not like a bottle, do you know what I mean? And it's like a dripping tap. So there's always milk being made. So if you are an hour and a half after the feed, there's going to be more milk available, but there will always be milk available.
So can you just talk us through roughly when you would normally recommend pumping?
So typically we would start pumping between week two and week three, once baby's gotten a good grasp of breastfeeding. Typically you have more milk in the morning, so what we would do is we would feed and then pump immediately after. So let's just say your morning feed falls at 7 a.m you'd feed from both sides and then do a quick 10 minute pump from both sides. Remember to use your compression because that just makes it more effective. Then at 10 o'clock, you would breastfeed again and you would pump immediately after. And so you're collecting two little amounts of milk there. Now, what I would typically say to mums is, if you want to start doing a bottle feed on Friday, start pumping after the first two feeds on Monday. Then again on Tuesday.
Build up a store.
Wednesday, Thursday. So you build up a bit of a milk bank, okay? So that when you get to Friday, you've got a bit of a milk bank because you don't know how much you're going to get. Mm. And that's not indicative of how much milk you're producing. So some mums, when they first start to pump, they might only
tiny amounts initially.
Exactly.
And then it builds up.
It builds up. And so you don't want all that pressure to try and get all this milk for one feed on day one. Build it up slowly, create a bit of a milk bank. And by the time you get to Friday, you'll have enough milk for probably two feeds.
And you can freeze it, of course.
Yeah.
You can freeze it so it can stay in the fridge for 5 days. Make sure it's right at the back of the fridge where the fridge is coolest. You can also stick it in the freezer for 3 months. And the little milk sacks are really, really helpful because you can just write on there the date, how much, because it all becomes distorted when it's frozen.
And can we first introduce the actual bottle to the baby after about 3 weeks then, is it?
Yeah, I would say sort of 3 weeks is a good time to do it.
Some people say that doing it too early can interfere with breastfeeding. So if you give it 3 weeks, that gives you time to build up a supply. And actually, you know that the baby's going to be comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest with you, so many mums would like to do it at 3 weeks, but they still
can't.
Finding their feet.
They've got so much going on.
And I sort of think, you know, somewhere between three and 6 weeks, you're totally fine. Babies have a natural sucking reflex, which then starts to dull. So the longer we leave it, the harder it can become for babies to feed. So if you're introducing a bottle, it's at 8 weeks, you might have a bit of a challenge.
6 months down the line, you may only actually need to pump, for example, in the morning, and then you've got enough for that evening bottle, and then pump again before bed, and then you've got one for the freezer for later on.
Exactly, for a milk bank for later on. Yeah.
Now, you said some of the golden kind of words before, which was how a man can help. And I'm just sitting here thinking,
here,
how can he help?
In the early days, I think it's so important that dads are involved. They might not think that because they're breastfeeding, they can do anything. But actually, just getting the baby attached is so hard that you can't move once you're attached. So the dad being there to help get a glass of water, help get a pillow just to make it easier on mum's back is just so important.
Yeah.
And also, I think getting up with the mum on those first feeds, just helping change the nappy in between.
Massive.
Is a huge benefit.
Yeah. And just, you know, the thing is, like for a guy, you're going to think these are such small things. You know, I want to be, you know, fending for my family and, you know, doing big, massive things. But it's the little things that really make such a huge difference, you know.
You actually need a lot of time initially with the baby, skin to skin, and just that time for each feed. And if you have visitors every couple of hours, it really can hinder.
We all make great porters during the first few weeks, which is just wonderful. Yeah, I've got a great door opening action there. Really smooth slides in
and out.
And
you'll look like such a pro if you nail the burping.
I'm gonna wear a hat to open the door.
I think that's such an important point, Sarah. So definitely when working with, you know, definitely if you have people, everybody wants to see a new baby.
And it's exciting. You have that adrenaline surge. You want to see them too. But sometimes you have to just say,
yes,
no,
exactly.
Go away.
And what people would love is, you know, everyone wants to bring you something. And so if you do allow people through the door, invite people through the door, often just say, you know, grab something on the way. Let's have lunch together. And then we're going to have a nap. And so people love feeding you. And it's just
people
such
like
a nice,
to help.
They love helping. And so, you know, you can sort of do it around a meal, have a nice meal, you get a chance
fed.
To sit down and have a meal, and then you have more time with the baby.
So we've got loads of interesting myths that I'm quite keen for us to bust. Many of these are WhatsApps that we've had or messages on our Instagram. And I think one of them, which I'd like to start with, is that breastfeeding can make your baby clingy.
No.
Wonderful.
This is not true, is it?
Not
true. Actually, there's some evidence that babies who have been breastfed have stronger attachment and are more independent in later life.
Absolutely. Definitely. Cuddle your baby. Love your baby. It makes
them secure. You can't spoil a newborn baby.
Yeah.
You must only eat bland foods.
Nonsense.
You can actually eat whatever you want. And we say it's really important to eat a healthy diet, both for you and your baby.
Yeah.
And just wait and see. If there's something that you feel isn't making you feel great or the baby feel great, of course exclude it. But actually there's no evidence that even spicy food can upset your baby's tummy because it's already digested.
Yeah.
Exercise will turn your milk sour.
That's nonsense.
This is nonsense. There are people who try and claim that when you're exercising, the lactic acid affects the breast milk. This is nonsense. Yeah. And it made me so angry. One of my really good friends got told off by her mother-in-law for going on a 30-minute run when her baby was 3 months old.
No, that's ridiculous.
And I just could not believe it, because actually how beneficial for the mum and the baby
having
that headspace.
Totally.
It doesn't affect milk supply either.
No, you can't get pregnant while nursing.
Oh, well, try it. Try it if you dare. You're less likely to fall pregnant if your periods haven't returned and if you're feeding exclusively, but there's always a risk. So if you're not keen or if you're not looking for a baby, speak to a doctor about it.
Absolutely. Big myth, one of the most popular ones. You have to pump and dump after you drink alcohol.
You don't have to, but also drink responsibly. Have a look at all the guidelines. Remember that alcohol is constantly being metabolized through your body. So if you feel wonky, don't breastfeed.
Some people think you can't nurse a baby when you're sick yourself. And actually, that's not true as well. Yeah. We know that breastfeeding, when you're unwell, actually helps prevent the baby from becoming unwell.
Yeah, exactly. And if your baby does get a bit of what you get, remember your body's always making antibodies, and so it will be a very slight version of what you've got. So definitely don't make yourself sick. But if you are in germ-infected areas, rest assured your baby's immune system is going to be a lot stronger for it.
And if you have, for example, blocked duct or breast infection, so mastitis, again, we say it's beneficial for feeding.
Exactly. And this is the one time where even if your supply might increase, it's important to drain the breast, even if you have to pump. So just get rid of that milk and everything will calm down.
One myth that's really common among younger mums is that breastfeeding causes saggy boobs. And no, this is not true.
It doesn't. Being pregnant does. So, and your breasts will go back to
normal. In pregnancy affect the ligaments, don't they? And actually, breastfeeding itself does not affect your
not at all.
And the whole world is happy about that final one. Don't forget, what's discussed today is the opinions of the individuals and not the organisations they work for.
And while we hope you find this podcast helpful, remember, this is not personal medical advice. If you are concerned, do speak to a professional.
Crib Notes, things parents Google at 3 a.m.
Powered by the Breastfeeding Friend.
For breastfeeding advice, available 24/7 on Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant.